Mark chapter 5, 4 and 5. In Mark chapter 5, we have a triad of miracles that took place. Last Sunday night, whenever we mentioned the three miracles, we now have already looked at two of them. We saw Jesus raising Jairus' daughter to life. Notice that way back in our study a few months ago in the autumn. Last Sunday night, we saw the Lord Jesus healing the lady that had the issue of blood. And now tonight, we're coming to deal with this one that we've read in chapter 5, where a man's life was ruined by the possession of evil spirits, and how the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and sought him out and performed a wonderful miracle and brought that man out of his wrecked and ruined state into a wonderful life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider these three miracles in Mark chapter 5, there are similarities in them. For instance, in each case, there has been a mighty display of the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ. A remarkable display. And in each case, that display of the Lord's mighty power has been for the well-being of the people that were the benefactors or the recipients of the miraculous power. But then there are contrasts. First of all, two of these miracles were performed on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, what we would call the main site, where Judea, and then if you're looking at the map, on top of that Samaria, and then on the top of that Galilee is to be found. Two on the one side, and one on the other. And then again, two of them were performed in the daytime, and one of them, it seems, and we'll notice it in a few minutes, at night time. There's another contrast, and this is the contrast. In two of these miracles, the two we've already looked at, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and in the case of the woman who had her issue of blood staunched miraculously, these two people appealed to the Lord Jesus Christ for aid, for help. But in the miracle that we're looking at tonight of the man who had the demons cast out of him, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that took the initiative in this instance. And he went out after the man that was possessed with the demon. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. The initiative of the recovery, the Lord's initiative of the recovering of the ruined man. And keep it in mind the whole time, it's the Lord taking the initiative. It's not that this man heard about Jesus and came and across the Sea of Galilee to look for him around the Galilee area or the Judea area. It's not that way. It's a case of the Lord coming out looking for the man when the man didn't know that the Lord was looking for him. We want to notice it tonight then, this initiative. First of all, I want you to notice with me the opposition that it encountered. That's why we read chapter 4. The opposition, before the Lord Jesus Christ got to the man, there was a barrier, there was hindrance, there was opposition that was set before him. Now, we notice that at the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and I want you to see how it originated, first of all. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples got into the boat, into the ship as it was called. And the Bible tells us it was eventide, which means that it was whirling around toward darkness. Now, in order to go the distance across the Sea of Galilee, it would take a bit of time in a boat. But whenever they were making their way across, the Lord Jesus was asleep, he was tired, shows his humanity, and then a storm arose. And this storm became so fierce that the disciples thought that they were going to drown. And they woke up the Lord and they said, now remember, these were professional boatmen, professional fishermen. They were used to storms on the sea. But they cried out and awoke the Master, do you not care that we perish? And the Lord Jesus Christ rose up out of his sleep, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, to the waves, peace be still. And I'm saying that was opposition. You might say, was that not just the ordinary course of events in nature? I don't believe that. For this reason, if it was the ordinary course of events in nature, the Lord wouldn't have had to rebuke it. The Lord would not have gone against his heavenly Father. No, there was a satanic attack here. There was the effort to try to keep the Lord Jesus Christ away from coming to the country of the Gadarenes to deliver this man of whom we read in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, the first 20 verses. But notice not only the origination of the opposition, notice how it was overcome. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen so often, was in complete control. Even though he was sleeping, he would not let that boat go under. He would not let his disciples perish, because he had a great plan and purpose for them, and he had a great plan and purpose for himself in order to go to the cross at Calvary and lay down his life a ransom for us. We've already seen that he got up, and with just a word, a fiat word, there came a great calm on the sea. The wind was rebuked. It ceased its howling and raging. The disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? I want to say to you tonight that if God commissions you to a work, my dear Christian brother and sister, no matter what it is, if you know in your heart of hearts that God has a work for you to do, a task to perform, and you set about it, the devil will try to waylay you. He'll try to hinder you. He'll put obstacles in your path. He doesn't want you to do the will of God. And you'll find opposition. So this initiative that the Lord Jesus Christ was opposed at the very beginning, the opposition he encountered. But notice secondly, with regard to this initiative, the confrontation that it sparked. And this brings us into chapter 5. Notice the way chapter 5 starts, and there is the conjunction here. And that links to what is happening in chapter 5 to what has happened at the end of chapter 4. We've seen it was getting dark, it was eventide, they were going across the sea, this storm arose, this opposition arose, the Lord overcame that, and now they're getting out of the boat. And right away, there's a confrontation. Of course, the Lord intended it. He was going to confront these evil spirits that were dwelling in this poor, unfortunate man. Now, notice first of all the parties that were involved in this confrontation. Notice verse 2. And when he, that's the Lord Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with the stones. So we see right away the parties involved here. First of all, of course, there was the divine conqueror himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the man, he's the person in complete control of matters here. And as we've already seen, he's on a mission to alleviate the sufferings of this one man. Look at how far he came. Look at the way he put himself out in order to rescue this terrible, unfortunate being. The divine conqueror is here. And then I want you to notice the deranged and the debased man is involved in this confrontation. Because we are told here right away, verse 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This man who had his dwelling, as we have noticed here, in the tombs, in the sepulchres, in the graveyards of the country. A man who, Luke tells us, had no clothing on him. He was naked. A man who was debased. A man whose body must have been full of great sores when he cut himself, Whenever he was chained, people could do nothing for him. All they could do was contain him and restrain him, and that not very successfully at all. But they could do nothing to better his circumstances. The man is a terrible specimen of humanity. How often these chains were broken by him. How often he let out loud yells. And is it any wonder, whenever the Bible tells us he was indwelt by this evil spirit, more than an evil spirit, as we'll see in a moment. But while this man came rushing to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was driven there by the spirits within him, the unclean spirits. They're another factor here. Not only the divine conqueror, the Lord Jesus, not only the demented, deranged, debased man, but the demonic powers are involved in this controversy, this confrontation. Let's notice very carefully the reading here in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." The man is the vehicle, but the evil spirits are the energizing force within him. Now keep that in mind. The parties that are involved in this confrontation. The Lord Jesus, this demented man, and these demonic powers. Notice, secondly, in this confrontation, not only the parties, but notice the process that is unfolding here. First of all, the man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, we are told, this seems to be the order of it, if you notice verse 8. For he said, that is, the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ said that, here's the reply that he got in verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." This is the evil spirit speaking. But I want to say this to you, as we'll see in a moment. He's only a representative being. There are many more evil spirits in there. He's the spokesman of the group. And he's saying to the Lord Jesus, in effect, "Are you coming to interfere with me? Do not be interfering with us now before our time." They knew that the time would come that the Lord would judge them, and they thought the Lord was going to come to judge them now. Oh, it tells us a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And it tells us a lot about the evil spirits, that they recognized the Supreme One of all, the Lord Jesus. They said that he's Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. James tells us that the devils or the demons believe and tremble. Here's an instance of it. But notice something else. As this matter begins to unfold, the Lord Jesus Christ then, in verse 9, asks him, that is, asks this man, or asks this spirit that's speaking through the man, "What is thy name?" And here's the answer. He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Do you know what legion means? If we talk about a legion today, we're talking about many people. Literally, a legion in Bible days, especially among soldiers, the Roman army, meant at least 2,000 plus soldiers would have made up a legion. It varied from 2,000 to 3,000, according to what I've read. But at any rate, it tells us that this man's life was ruined by the indwelling of these hordes of evil demonic spirits and power. Ah, but they were going to meet their match in the mighty conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 10, we read, he, that's this evil spirit speaking through this man, this representative spirit representing the others, he besought him much, that is, they pleaded with the Lord Jesus, that he would not send them away out of the country, that is, out of that region where they seemed to have a stronghold in the body of this man, and perhaps in other places. Oh, I think this is tremendous. They recognize now who the mighty power is. They're pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not coming to occupy a body at will, but they realize that the Creator of all beings stands before them. And they're cringing in front of Him. And they're saying, don't send us out of the region altogether. And so we read in verse 11, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought Him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Now, whatever they wanted to go into the swine for, I'm not sure. But they certainly wanted some place to indwell. This is the process unfolding. The divine Messiah and Deliverer, Lord God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is standing, confronting calmly and with power these evil forces. And they're cringing before Him, begging Him not to do this, that, or the other. But the Lord Jesus has His own purpose. And as we look at this confrontation, and as we pass from the parties involved and the process that was taking place, we notice the purpose that was fulfilled. Notice this 13th verse. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 pigs. And they were all agitated. They were all affected. Were they all indwelt? Were there 2,000 evil spirits dwelling in that man's life? Looks like it. And the Bible tells us that they suddenly became agitated. The Lord gave the spirits, the Lord drove the spirits out of the man and gave them leave to go into the pigs. And at that moment, there was a terrible movement among the pigs. And they began to, as it were, go in like a stampede, right over the cliff into the Sea of Galilee, and they were drowned. The power of the Savior. His purpose was fulfilled. He rid that poor man of all of that demon possession. He delivered him from his terrible plight. I want to say to you tonight, my dear friend, that while you may not be in such a pass as this man was, yet for all of that, the Bible says that every unconverted person is led captive by the devil at his will. You're chained by sin, by wickedness, by evil. You're chained by habits that are dragging you down. They're ruining your life. And finally, they will take you into the place called hell. I want to say to you, my dear hearer, the Savior has come tonight. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God's people are gathered here tonight. Christ is in the midst. He has brought you here. He has come looking for you. He's willing to set you free and to make you a child of God. And He's confronting you now. And He wants you to know He loves you and cares for you. And He's able to save to the uttermost if you'll only take Him to be your personal Savior. He's still thinking about this initiative, the opposition that it encountered, the confrontation that it sparked. Notice thirdly, the transformation that it caused in the life of this man. Notice verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in His right mind. And they were afraid. And then they went away and told it to other people. Now notice several things about this great transformation. First of all, notice the serenity the man had. He's sitting. Now what we read earlier, and if you take Matthew's account and Luke's account, you get a composite picture, you get the whole picture, you learn that the man was agitated, he was disturbed, he couldn't find rest, He was deranged. He was in the grip of satanic power. He was debased. But here's a man now. He's normal. He's sitting. He's not forced to sit. He's at peace. He has a tranquil mind. He's serene in his frame. There's a calmness and a restfulness has come over him. Those of you who were with us this morning will remember the three times the Lord Jesus came to those disciples of his who were upset and sad at what had happened in Jerusalem when he was crucified. He said, "Peace be unto you." And here's a man that's experiencing that peace firsthand. There was not only serenity, there was dignity. The Bible says he's sitting here clothed. Someone had provided garments for him. There he is. The man hadn't been clothed in a long time. Sitting down, resting. And he's appearing respectable and decent. But there's something else about him. Not only his serenity and his dignity, there's his rationality. He is in his right mind now. No more deranged. No more a mental case. No more given to insanity. Oh, what a change. Oswald J. Smith, very famous minister in Canada many years ago, wrote that great hymn, "One Sat Alone Beside the Wayside Begging." "Then Jesus Came" was the name of the hymn. And part of it reads like this: "From home and friends the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the prisoner free." He goes on to write, "So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. His power can set the captive free." He's passing by tonight. He can do that for you. What a transformation. Made him over anew, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. What a mighty Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. This Savior would then go on eventually to the cross at Calvary. There he would lay down his life a ransom for many. There he would take on the devil and spoil principalities and powers and make a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross in order to provide deliverance and salvation for us. What a transformation, showing us his serenity, showing us his dignity, showing us his rationality, showing us his activity. This man accompanied the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples back to the boat. The Lord Jesus had to go back across the sea again to Galilee. And he pleaded with the Lord. He says, "Can I go with you?" And the Lord says, "No." He says, "What I want you to do is this. I want you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you and hath compassion upon you." He gave him a task to do. He gave him service. And that man went back to Decapolis and he told everybody. And if you notice the very last verse, "The man departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." What an impact he was making now for the Savior, just by giving his testimony to what the Lord had done for him. What an example he is for us here. What an example and an illustration of the power of a personal testimony. Never be ashamed to tell others what the Lord Jesus has done for you if you're a Christian. You cannot measure the effect that it can have on the hearer and the blessing that it can result in their lives. But one last thing about this initiative that the Lord Jesus took. Not only the opposition it encountered and the confrontation it sparked and the transformation it caused, but notice the rejection it occasioned. It's hard to take it in, but it's in God's Word and we accept it. I mean that from the point of view of the wickedness of man. Why these men rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look with me at the words here in this particular section. Verse 14 again. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. That is, they saw these swine becoming agitated. They did not know what was happening. And then suddenly, violently, rushing over the cliff edge, being drowned in the sea. So they came into the city, verse 14 says, and into the country, and told what was done. So a crowd came out to see, what's been happening here? 2,000 swine being swept into the sea or violently hurtling down into the sea. And then whenever they came, verse 15, they came to Jesus and they saw this man that had been possessed with the devil sitting clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible says they were afraid. They were awestruck. They had known this fella, that he was a madman, so called. They had known that this man was deranged and debased. They had probably been among the people that tried to curtail his activities and chain him. And warned their children and friends and family, steer clear of that area where that fella is. But now they see a completely new man. But the great problem for us is they couldn't accept it. They couldn't rejoice in it. How disgraceful the reality of this rejection. Because notice what they said to the Lord Jesus Christ there in verse 16. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They said, we don't want you to stay here. We want you to go away. Go back to where you came from. Go anywhere, but get away from our borders here. That's what they were saying to the Lord Jesus Christ. The cheek of them. Because this was his country. He was the creator of the world. And he has the right, the sovereign right, to tread anywhere in it that he wants. And here these cheeky, rude, arrogant subjects are saying, we don't want you here. Get away from here. How disgraceful the reality of this rejection. But how diabolical the iniquity of it. You know why? Because they preferred their business profits to the well-being of this man. Now, 2,000 swine would have been a lot of money. These Jews, if they were Jews, it is said that this was a Gentile part of the land of Israel on this eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, down where the country of the Gadarenes were. May have been Jews looking after these swine, which they were forbidden to eat. Or it may all have been Gentiles, and they would have had no qualms. But they realized, if he stays around here, this is going to be bad for business. We're going to have no profits. And all they were thinking of was their own selfish ends. And they said, get you out of here. You're not good for business. Then lastly, how dreadful the folly of this rejection. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ just took them up on his word. Verse 20, and he departed. Or verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, never argued with them. He left them to their own devices. And my dear friend, here's the terrible thing, the perilous thing for you if you're not a Christian. Oh, you may not say out loud, Lord, get away from me. I don't want you being about me. I know that if you were to get control of my life, my lifestyle would change somewhat. And yet your lifestyle is dragging you down, dragging you further away from Christ, and will eventually drag you into hell itself. And the Lord is here to deliver you. What you're saying, not out loud, but it's in your thinking and by your actions. Lord, I don't want you to take control of my life. But if you keep on saying that whenever you feel the striving of the Holy Spirit with you and hear the voice of the Lord to you in His Word, if you keep on saying that, He could take you up on what you're saying and leave you and never come back to you again. We have no record in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ ever coming back to this region. And think of the opportunities that these people deprived themselves of because they preferred the swine and silver to the salvation of souls. I read this to you some years ago. I want to read it again. Rabbi, be gone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not thine. Thou lovest men, we swine. Oh, get thee hence, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine. His soul, what care we for his soul? What good to us that thou hast made him whole, since we have lost our swine? And Christ went sadly. He had wrought for them a sign of love and hope and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands without your door and gently knocks. But if your gold or swine the entrance blocks, he forces no man's hold. He will depart and leave you to the pleasures of your heart. More than the Lord Jesus and the disciples left the country of the Gadarenes that day, with him went the opportunities that these citizens would have had. But sadly, the great initiative the Lord Jesus took in delivering this man that no power on earth could help, they preferred their swine to him and his work, his salvation. Are you doing something the same tonight? Is it not time that you stopped your rebelling and came to the Lord Jesus and yielded your life to him, trusted him as your Savior? What a change he'll make. What a transformation. Don't reject him. Don't despise the initiative that he has taken in coming out after you tonight, desiring the salvation of your souls.